easiest way to remember us is just 99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local for one more hour. Lines are open. I'd be honored to speak with you. 884-9910. Getting the latest numbers right now, and it's fascinating to me, looking at the Secretary of State's web portal where the vote count is the most immediate. They put them right on the website. It's automatic, and it's been fascinating for me because I checked this at 9 o'clock. I gave you the numbers at 9 o'clock this morning, and they have changed since 9 o'clock this morning to now. So the counting process is going on as I speak here. So here's how things have changed. Rosen is getting more of a plurality over Sam Brown. And, that's a bit suspicious. I know, you know, when the vote count started, he was ahead. Remember that election night? Then he was ahead by like 400 votes. And now it's turned around so much that the vote difference between Rosen and Brown is 20,571. Now, this is an important number right there, because Jackie Rosen didn't really have a minor candidate competing against her. Sam Brown did. Janine Hansen has collected so far 20,348. Well, now the difference between Rosen and Brown is 20,571. So this is the first time I can say that Janine Hansen did not lose the race for Sam Brown. With her votes, he still would have been behind. According to the portal here, Jackie Rosen has 47.84% of the vote, and Sam Brown has 46.30% of the vote. So she's ahead, as you just heard on Fox News. Fox News declared her the winner. We just heard that, top of the hour. Also, Fox News declared Nevada electoral votes are going to Donald Trump. So news outlets are falling in line here, declaring the race over for U.S. Senate and for the presidential race in the Silver State. In the vote count for Trump in Nevada, it is moved. His vote is moved from 50.75% to 50.56%. So a little bit of gaining from Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has gone from 47.36% to 47.44%, but he's still way ahead. We're talking, 3 percentage points, which is tens of thousands of votes. In Washoe County, 49% for Trump, 48.64% for Kamala Harris, who barely won Clark County. Wouldn't that be something if she had lost Clark County? I think, everybody's had their take of why she lost. I'm not going to bore you with my opinions on that. But I think two things nobody is talking about here. The media definitely is not talking about that really brought the conservative conservative vote, besides all the fumbles that Kamala Harris made and Tim Walz and all the reasons that this didn't work and that. One is something a friend of mine said, and when it comes to Nevada, all of those people coming here from California are not moving here because of the weather. We thought they were all liberals coming from California, and I'm beginning to think that most of the Californians coming to Nevada to live are conservatives, or people who obviously turned into conservatives, seeing the negatives of living in a socialist state. You know, we have an influx of Republicans from California who just had it up to here, and they just might be turning Nevada red right now. And nationally, and I know some people are going to laugh at this, we had some things at the end. I mean, Biden calling Trump supporters trash. Boy, that was incredibly effective. And also, guess who else was effective? Don't laugh when I say this, because I fervently believe this. Peanut the Squirrel and Fred the Raccoon. And I'm dead serious about this. This story went full blast on social media and just enraged people. A man saves a baby squirrel whose mother was killed on a road. He and his wife adopt Peanut. They train him. They make him an Instagram star. Peanut gets well over a million followers, you know, watching Peanut doing tricks, and the Instagram had all his stories and funny things over 7 years. And some neighbor reports this guy who has Peanut, and some overreactive New York government agency takes Peanut and Fred from their home. No further communication with their owner, and they're euthanized. They killed Peanut, they say, to see if he had rabies. He didn't, of course. Peanut the squirrel and Fred the raccoon, both exterminated by the state, some government agency in the state of New York. The state and the agency will not even address the issue. They still won't, but they pissed off a lot of people by this incredibly cruel act. No apology, no answer at all. It's the typical big government, we are powerful and you are nothing response. We're the government and you will do what we say. It just does not cut it, and it enrages the public. The only way out of this is with an apology and some accountability. We're not getting any of that. And seriously, I said to my wife, this made a big difference. She didn't even know about Peanut. CNN, CBS, ABC never mentioned the story. The broadcast news ignored it. But, you know, we don't need the broadcast news. It went viral. Tens of millions of people, and the anger across the country over this was pretty intense. That whole situation and how it was dealt with is everything I and millions of Americans despise about our government now. This was one of those rare emotional issues that triggers votes. Things like that, they fire up people. I mean, some people I saw online were like, I'll give you my squirrel when you pry it from my cold, dead hands. That little squirrel rang our Liberty Bell. And Fred, too. Fred the raccoon. He's the Sancho Panza of this situation. That's a literary residence reference there. But these things the media doesn't report. Here's another example. And how interesting it was to see what I've long believed, how powerless the TV news reporters and pundits really are now. That overwhelming vote for Trump was also a vote on the big three TV news media. They lost all credibility on politics and our election process. I had people tell me that this was the election where they really noticed who the media was pushing for, and that it was more than obvious over the past 2 weeks that they wanted their girl to win. I think I picked up their preference before 2 weeks ago. In fact, I think it might have been about 2002 or so that I picked up the preference, and they've been pretty strong since then. I mean, in 2016, they said Trump couldn't win, and this year we had several months being called Nazis and fascists and trash and such. And it reminds me of another favorite quote I have. It reminds me what Jeff Bezos once said: those who fight reality lose. So media loses, and reality is again an undefeated champion. All right, let's go to the phones. Michael calling from Reno. Hey, Michael, I'm glad you called. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. So, got a couple of subjects here, starting off with the Peanut thing. So, you know, leave it to the big government to come in and, you know, after these people save these poor animals and they've been living with them forever and they had a great, happy life and all of that, to come in and say, oh, just because we have a law that says, you know, you can't have wild animals or whatever, you know, and they might have rabies, we got to take them away and murder them. You know, I lived in Hawaii for 30 years, and we brought animals back from Japan. And of course, Japan and Hawaii both have quarantine. So, you know, you either have to go through and have the certified vet come through and do all the tests, you know, for 3 weeks, 21 days, and certify the animal is clean of rabies. And you get your certificate, and they don't have to put the animal down. So I don't get where New York is saying, oh, we had to put the animal down to, you know, test them for rabies or whatever. For God's sakes, all you have to do is keep them in a cage and keep them separated so the animals can't, you know, get to each other and transmit the disease. And
okay, we lost you. Sorry about that. I mean, I doubt that what really ticks me off, besides the government possibly lying to us about that, is how they feel they don't have to answer to the public. And don't we go through this, folks, with whatever government agency we usually deal with? The IRS. You try calling the IRS, you're not only put on hold for 40, 45 minutes, but you'll get disconnected. The DMV, talk about service. Some of these quasi-government mixed private enterprises like Amtrak. I love the train, I do, but the Amtrak website is so government-ese and clunky and such, and you'll never get anywhere on time with Amtrak. The post office, also quasi-government, is not, they don't answer. I mean, it's, well, you know, you go to the post office, complain about something, and they'll hand you a job application. I've been through that. Let's go back to Mike. Is this a guy we lost? Okay, Michael. Okay, Michael, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know what happened. Silly phones. So, you know, that's just completely ridiculous that the state would say they would have to put these animals down because of the rabies thing. You know, like I said, you know, in Hawaii, you bring an animal in. If it doesn't have the certification, the animal's required to be quarantined for 3 weeks. And then after that, the animal's released with a clear bill of health. So that's just really sad. It's typical of large government New York style politics that they feel they just got to do this kind of thing. It's just really super sad.
Thanks,
and
Michael.
Then on to the, the question three thing. You know, they had all the advertisements on TV and all, and they said that, this is so like, oh, I was a veteran and I'm an independent and I should be able to pick who I want to vote and all that. Well, that's what the general election is for. The primary election is for the people in each party to select their own candidate. Or whoever I want. If you want to vote for a Republican, sign up to be a Republican. If you want to be a Democrat, do the same. So that was a flawed argument, and I'm glad that thing went down in a ball of flames.
All right, sir. Michael, I appreciate it. I kind of don't go totally along with that because I think it's a little bit unfair to make people go through that process if they happen to be an independent voter. And maybe...
Well, you know, if they don't want to do that, then they can. All they have to do is take... party politics out of politics and just say, we're going to have however many people on the ballot and everybody gets to vote for whoever they want. And if somebody doesn't get 50% plus one in the primary, then you move on.
Okay.
And let's say the top two or three move on and then you just vote on that. And if somebody gets that way,
yeah.
And you take the party politics out of the primary.
Yeah. I think I don't see the problem with having an open primary. The only objection I had to the open primary was that the state, our tax money, would be the ones paying for it. I don't like that. I'd rather have the parties pay for their own primaries like they're doing now. But logistically, you can have an open primary probably easier than the two-party system. But I voted against it because I don't like my tax money going to politicians. That's just a weird thing with me. It's 11:19. I'm John Potter, live and local. 884-9910 is our number. Be back in a few. Call up now. Be honored to speak with you. 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:20.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local, 884-9910. Number to call every Saturday. We're here, 9 to noon. Let's go to Kurt in Reno. Hey, Kurt, thanks for calling. I'm glad you tuned in.
Hi, John. I am very happy that President Trump was reelected. Couldn't be more pleased with the country and the state of Nevada turning in that direction. Where I'm unhappy is with our Nevada Republican leadership and specifically Mr. McDonald. We weren't able to replace Heidi Gansert with a Republican. It went to a Democrat. We didn't have the ability to kick out Devin Reese. with a very good qualified candidate in Mr. Cassidy. But I think it's time for new leadership in the Republican Party in the state of Nevada so that we can keep the Democrats from getting their agenda through, even if Mr. Lombardo exercises vetoes.
All right, Kurt. Okay, sir. I appreciate your call, my friend. You keep in touch with us, okay? Thank you much. I think, you know, and like I said earlier, everybody's told you already why they think Harris lost, having to defend the policies of the last 4 years. I mean, erasing the college debt for well-off college families, that blue-collar middle class, they did not care for that. Making abortion your primary issue. The women I know, and not just the conservative ones, but several are liberal. And all of Kathy's friends are liberals. Most are appalled by this promotion of abortion. Granted, you know, our friends are mainly seniors, but they vote and they veer toward personal responsibility in life. And for a good segment, their religion. And I think pushing the abortion issue, in reality, it was like the fourth issue of importance to voters behind inflation, economy, illegal immigration, and the rising crime. Abortion was fourth, but I get it. Democrats couldn't really push inflation or the border or crime over the last 4 years. They almost had to focus on that. But have you folks ever seen a presidential campaign run as poorly as Kamala's? I mean, very few unscripted interviews. She only spoke to the media that was for her, though that's like, what, 90% of the news media out there. She did that one interview on Fox News, which I believe could have won her over a million votes. But she went on thinking that Democrats were watching. This is what I can't understand. So she gets there. She's rude to Bret Baier, the nicest TV news guy there is. She takes up all the talking time so he can only get in the four questions. She yells at him. Excuse me. I'm speaking now. Okay. It was a show for Democrats, and Democrats don't watch Fox News. And if they do, it's a very small amount. Republicans and other conservatives watch Fox News. Why didn't her campaign say, go on there and be a Reagan Democrat? Talk to the other side. Address their concerns. Say you share them and that you will listen to them, et cetera, et cetera. Above all, just be a downright nice, good person. Win votes like Reagan did with Democrats. And, you know, it's been well documented for months that there were many, many Republicans who were not keen on Trump. She could have scooped up a bunch of them. Instead, they wasted money with ads on primarily liberal TV. The Kamala ads on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. That is what we call preaching to the choir. I mean, she already had those votes. And she wouldn't go on Joe Rogan's podcast. That's an audience of several million. She wouldn't go on Bill Maher. That's close to 2 million who just watch it on TV. And there's millions more who watch Bill Maher on YouTube. Bobby Kennedy Jr. was on Bill Maher. Trump absolutely refused to go on. Trump hates Bill Maher with a passion, even sued him. She could have had the whole show to herself. And now her campaign, I will say her campaign, was smart enough to advertise on conservative radio. Her commercials ran here on KKFT. I know because I was here and answered some angry phone calls about that. But, you know, just not enough. It's like our situation at home. I'm the Republican. Kathy's the Democrat. I got about 50 Trump mail flyers sent in our mailbox. Kathy got 50 Kamala mail pieces. I'm not a solid Trumper. I preferred DeSantis. Why didn't the Democrats send me just one mail flyer that addressed me and the millions of other moderate Republicans? Why didn't our local Democrat Party only want to talk to fellow Democrats? It's just an incredibly incompetent campaign, and I bet they spend millions upon millions on idiot campaign consultants. Just what a waste. Oh, well, good for us. And there are other reasons she lost. You know, people are sick of the woke outrage that kids are getting sex change operations, the crime, the $6 boxes of cereal, the $5 gas, the way that Democrats treat minorities and classify them. Latinos hate the term Latinx. That's a term that white progressives thought up to categorize them. And I was actually told to use that term at Channel 2, that you can't say Mexican American. It's not Latinx. I was scolded to use Latinx on the Latinos don't like it. And so half of the Latino vote went to Trump. His black vote increased. Trump was actually the great unifier. If you look at the groups that come out or came out, but oh my gosh, Democrat Party bigwigs, take a class in marketing and don't let your president call half the country's citizens trash. I think that might help too. And one more thing that turned voters off, especially the working voters who, we know that you work, you prosper. Kamala Harris and the Democrats instead preached equality of outcome as a right while completely ignoring the inequality of effort, the simple law of the harvest. As you sow, so shall you reap. Is the harder you work, the more you get. And they wanted to turn that upside down. You know, those who achieve were to be punished as enemies of society, and those who failed were to be rewarded as wards of society. But it wasn't just this campaign. Entitlement has replaced effort as the key to upward mobility in American society, or at least it would have if Kamala Harris got her way. She and her party speak of two Americas, and their grip on power is based on using the votes of one to take from the other. America is not divided by the differences in our outcomes. It's divided by the differences in our efforts. And what the vice president offered was not a solution, but separatism. She offered division and strife and pitted one set of Americans against another for her own political benefit. Two Americas coming closer each day, proving the truth to Lincoln's belief that a house divided itself cannot stand. And I'm going to end with this phrase President Kennedy used in his inaugural address to describe Americans' feelings toward our nation's history. In 1961, he's proud of our ancient heritage. He actually said that. Today, they want us to be ashamed of that heritage. They are wrong. And President Kennedy was right. If President Kennedy ran these days, he'd be a right-wing conservative. That's how that party has changed. And treat each other how we would like to be treated. I think he said that too. I've gone too long. I'm John Potter. Phone number 884-9910. We're going to break for Fox News. It's Open Topic, and the topic is politics. It is for today. I mean, it's not our typical Saturday show, but we folks have a lot to say about the election. 884-9910. And so I'll be right back after Fox News on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1133.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local. Current temperature 52 degrees. Beautiful sunny skies out there, looking good. Let's go to the phones, 884-9910. Michael is calling from Red Rock. Hey, Michael, I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Morning. Glad you found and got your phone back. Sorry that people had to be mad at you for going off the grid for a bit.
Yeah. Don't lose your phone. Don't. Go ahead, Michael.
Anyway, I was just kind of curious. You've been talking about, you know, how long it takes us to get our election done because of the stuff they've done since COVID and that. But the one that puzzles me, and it's the same thing that happened with the last time we did this with Laxalt, is how is it that the election's over, day and a half later they start opening the absentee and mail-in ballots that aren't postmarked anymore. I don't know if you're aware of that. They don't postmark them anymore so that you can, you know, you can run them up there as long as you want. And then suddenly Jackie Rosen's 13,000 votes ahead. How does that happen?
I knew you'd bring that up. I gave those numbers. Oh, boy, what didn't we have a weird feel, a happy feeling seeing Sam Brown ahead of her 400 votes. And now, yes, the vote difference over 20,000. I can't explain it. You know me, I don't know anything. Listen, but I don't want to pick on the registrar's office. From all accounts, from the people I talked with, they are going through a massive headache. And it's very difficult to work with these mandates of everybody gets a mail-in ballot without having to show much ID. I think it's a terrible thing, and I'm glad that question 7 won. Thanks a lot, Michael. Yeah, unanswerable questions there. Let's go to Bill in Carson City. Hey, Bill, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? What I got to say is Nevada is very similar to California. And it started in the pandemic when you had Siskelyak and California had Newsom. Siskelyak couldn't think for himself. He did everything Newsom did. Next, you have California has a Pelosi. We have a Jackie Rosen. What they have in common is insider trading. Her husband made in two trades over $1.5 million. I don't know what Jackie Rosen makes. The housing market in Nevada is going sky high, where Nevadans can't even afford to buy a house here anymore, which is terrible. The next, you wanted all the industrial jobs here, and you got them, but along with that came a lot of crime. You could see that in Reno and Sparks. You know, and then one more thing is, look at in California, all the businesses are closing, or not all, but a lot of them, and the same thing here. You know, something's just too funny that Nevada is just a mirror image.
Did you just bleep yourself? Bill, this is all stuff we know. I appreciate you calling, sir. Thanks for getting it out there. I do appreciate it. 884-9910. This was the election also that the media lost. I mean, lately, for what, over a year, the media has been telling us inflation is, I think, a year and a half. They've been telling us inflation's falling. But we see with our own eyes that's not true. We're still paying $5 for boxes of cereal and a gallon of gas. And poor John Potter had to pay $200.68 for a car battery 2 days ago. We heard the media refer to illegal immigrants as immigrants. No, there is a difference. We saw 60 Minutes, CBS 60 Minutes, Dr. Kamala's answers so they would make sense. We saw TV anchors all smiles on Kamala's stories and the frowns and the negative news when it came to Trump. And after the results came in, oh my goodness, the frowny faces the next day on TV. An angry Nora O'Donnell. And oh my goodness, even the perky, smiley blonde lady on Inside Edition was frowning. You know, the media just doesn't talk about what we care about. And night after night, not just CBS and ABC News doing this, but night after night, the Stephen Colbert on CBS and Jimmy Kimmel and the daytime, The View, attack and insult, not Trump, us and our beliefs, right? They personally attack over half of the U.S. voting population. And where's the comedy on these late night shows like we had with Johnny Carson and Jay Leno? Do we have to go to bed every night mad after watching them? Now, honestly, my wife likes Colbert, but it's brutal. It's almost obscene insults of Trump and JD and other Republicans, and Colbert is yelling and Kimmel is crying over what the people decided now. How they get any ratings, I don't get it. It's obviously from the other half. But they get that rating by insulting us. I just don't get it. Do people tune in just to get pissed off? Jon Stewart and John Oliver shows, they're even worse because they're cable and they can F-bomb us all the time. And all the finger-pointing and the recriminations and the soul-searching and the whole blame game among Democrats after they lost. Well, that part, now, that is kind of fun. But they're even turning, the Democrats are even turning on poor Tim Walz and said he was the wrong choice for a running mate, which, you know, they're correct. You know, Shapiro, he would have been better. He would have won Pennsylvania, but he's Jewish. And Kamala, she didn't want to offend the pro-Palestinian kids. But Walz did the best he could. The liberal TV networks, their so-called experts, did what they do, blaming the loss on misinformation that us stupid, gullible voters believed. The male chauvinist voters out there who were anti-women. And, of course, the non-college educated, i.e., we know what they're saying. They're calling us stupid. Yes, really. The male chauvinist voters who were anti-women, there's really that many of us. And, of course, we're racist in this country that voted Obama for president twice, one time in a big landslide. Okay, you know all this. 884-9910. I have one more segment to go, and then I'll shut up. I'm John Potter, live and local on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back in a few minutes. FM News Talk time, 11:46.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
You know, I didn't even get to how the news media whipped up all those violence fears on Election Day. Remember that? I mean,
America braces for unrest.
National Guard sent to polling stations.
Chaos as voting machines melt down.
Oh, this was one. Bomb threat in Georgia.
Confrontation because a man wouldn't take off his Trump hat.
Here's a headline from a major newspaper, Election Day.
Washington, D.C. braced for violence with insiders confessing there's a sense of dread.
Really, it's shameful, hype, just to sell papers and boost the TV ratings and exaggerate the danger of those wild-eyed Trumpers. Such BS. And there was that TV news report. Actually, a bunch of stations ran this TV news report. The story about how to deal with Election Day anxiety. It's negative. It's just downright unpatriotic. My election day in America has always been a positive, happy day where we enjoy the greatest human right in the world. It's the most wonderful day to be an American. I celebrate it. I truly do. I like election night parties. I think it should always be a celebration. We should look at it as it is. And that is our greatest gift. And finally, I just want to wrap up this whole subject because I think what could be said about this election has already been said about three times. I hate Saturdays because I'm always very late on these big stories, but I have some great quotes. And you know I love quotes. And chances are you never heard these because they are from columnists at the New York Times. And who of you all read the liberal New York Times? Very few, I assume. I mean, personally, I used to love that paper. I subscribed. It took me an hour to read every issue until they went far left and they went very misleading, just like CBS became when I was at Channel 2. So I canceled the New York Times and now I get the Wall Street Journal, which is as perfect as perfect can be. But devious me could not resist getting the day after election issue from the New York Times to read all the angst, of course, and the hand wringing. And this is the fair take that they had. Quote, Biden and his enablers disregarded the public's belief that he was too old to serve another term, when he finally did step aside, only after a televised disaster that set his floundering campaign on fire, the Democratic Party circumvented democracy by simply crowning his replacement. After that, Kamala's slogan of "We're not going back" sounded powerful, but it backfires if the voters in fact do want to go back 4 years. And maybe telling voters the economy is, quote, strong as hell when they tell you in every swing state that they couldn't afford groceries and gas, that was a fatal strategy. Democrats often have a knack for coming across as remarkably condescending to working class voters. We liberals tend to come across too often as finger wagging elites, disdainful of the religious faith that is really important to millions of people. On the other side, this is the absolute end of the old Republican Party. The new GOP is more durable, more working class, with a brighter future. Wow, some common sense finally settling in at the New York Times. That sounded very Bill Maher to me. I love it. Tim, calling from Carson. Thank you, Tim. I'm glad you called. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Potter. I look forward to your show every Saturday. I love it, and especially your personal stories. I really enjoy it.
Well, thank you, my friend. Is that it?
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you that, and I am really encouraged about the election. I think one of the variables that made that happen is people like Joe Rogan and all these podcasts that are giving information that before the internet and all these podcasts, they were able to keep secret. So it's exposing a lot of the lies that they try to get away with. And I think that was a huge factor in Trump winning. And I think I might have a solution for the immigration problem.
Yeah.
Here's my idea. If we get all the illegals as a way to get citizenship, they go and hunt down all the sexual predators, the pedophiles and all that. And we could call it aliens versus predators.
Okay, my friend. Thanks for calling. Of course, we all went through the reasons that Kamala lost. Don't forget Peanut the Squirrel. That's all I'm saying. 11:55. Okay, one more quote. You know, I just love quotes. I live by them. And this is your quote of the day. I think this fits so well today. Check it out. The refusal to take sides on great moral issues is itself a decision. It is a silent acquiescence to evil. The tragedy of our time is that those who still believe in honesty lack fire and conviction, while those who believe in dishonesty are full of passionate conviction. That is a quote I live by, and it's from my local bishop from back home, the good Reverend Fulton J. Sheen. He said it, "Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right." Right? And just one more quote. "This nation will remain the land of the free for only as long as it's the home of the brave." I forgot who said that, but that is a darn good one. Okay, I usually don't do this, but it's rough on the roads. I don't know why. I came in here. There was a terrible injury crash at Pyramid Way in McCarran. We have a few more here now. 80 eastbound. Well, that's just debris on the road. Watch out for that. 80 eastbound at Sparks Boulevard. And where did the others go? I guess they cleared them all up. Well, that's good. Just be safe driving out there, folks. I think now that the election's over, my new mission, my quest, is to demand that the sound volume on TV commercials should not be louder than the TV show. Okay? The government actually has a law over this. In 2012, the Federal Commission required commercials to have the same average volume as the programs they're on, and this is called the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation Act. And that law seems to be working about as well as the national no-call list.
You're right.
I know it doesn't apply to cable or streaming. You know, it's just for over the air. But for streaming, I have to tell you, I found out Roku has a setting where you can even out the sound volume, which is super cool. And this is what you do at home, by the way. Use the DVR, especially during football games. If you don't like the commercial, you record the game, you start watching it 45 minutes into it, and then fast forward the commercials. It makes for such a great game experience. Yeah, Craig.
I had a follow-up to Tim's. I don't think you got the joke, his Alien versus Predator. That was actually a movie from 2004 that he was making reference to, as well as, you know, he was trying to be punny about it.
Okay. And what did he say about the movie?
No, he said it was the alien, the illegal aliens versus, and sent them searching for the pedophile's nets of the predator. So it'd be Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Yeah. I'm
a little slow today. Listen, we can judge the, I'd rather pick on the government with that, for that situation. I can't judge illegal immigrants. What do you think you and I would do, Craig, if we were in Guatemala and wanted to make life better for our families, right? Okay, I'll leave with that. Jerry Evans is going to hate that, I bet. I'll be back next Saturday, I think. John Potter, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you again, folks. Have a great weekend on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Don't forget, tomorrow, another local show we have, Nevada Backroads. FM News Time, 11:58.